Good evening, or day, or whatever time it is you're listening to this. We are back. We promised that we were going to podcast every 2 weeks, and sure as shit, we've done it. I'm so proud of us, Carrie.
I know. I'm proud of us, too.
We should be, damn it. At this time of year, I'm going to take whatever victories we can get. This is yelling about... Right. Yelling about comics. This evening I am playing host. Yay! I am Jen Bozier, and with me is, as always, Carrie Honey.
Hello.
And tonight, I'm actually kind of excited because I think this is gonna be one of our first podcasts in which we actually yell about comics. Well, actually, I think that's maybe a little bit strong. It's gonna be more about ranting about comic book based things. So I feel like this evening's topic needs a little bit by way of backstory. where to even start with this? So today we were discussing the recent episodes of the crossover episode of The Flash, where The Flash, Supergirl, Arrow, Legends of Tomorrow, am I forgetting anyone in there?
No, you're not. What happened is that today, because I finally got caught up in my work on my game reviews while I was actually doing like my other work, I decided to catch up on The Flash. And so I watched, I was only two episodes behind. I watched one, it was really, really good. And then I watched the next one, which was the crossover. And I was basically, I went into our own little Slack chat and was basically typing, what the shit, over and over again. And then went to Jen and is telling her what's going on. And then she pops in and she's like, what?
So how this begins, the onus or the, you know, the beginning of this whole conversation is that Carrie utters the phrase, wait, what's going on with White Canary? And I then explained to her in the shortest, most succinct possible way that Sarah Lance was Ollie's ex-girlfriend. He was cheating on Laurel Lance with her younger sister, Sarah, and they got into a boat accident, and that then kickstarts the whole Arrow thing. Everybody thought that Sarah was dead, but turns out the same shipwreck that saved Ollie's life also marooned her with the League of Assassins with Ra's al Ghul, in which she became his daughter, Nyssa, not Talia because of rights. Nyssa's lover, and then she came back to Starling City, and then she was kind of evil for a little while, and then she joined Team Arrow, and then she didn't join Team Arrow, and then she came back, and Malcolm Merlyn hypnotized Thea to kill her so that they could kickstart a war with Ra's al Ghul, which is basically the entirety of Season 3. I hope you're still following me. Carrie, get your head out of that freaking cup. You can handle this a second time. And then, after being dead for so long, Laurel continued to go to her grave, like, basically every day, like, every episode, there was this, I can't believe she's gone, moment, and then she decided to take her body to the Lazarus pit.
I'm not sure that was a Freudian slip. I think that was dead on.
I think that was, yeah, perfect. The Lazarus pit, she comes back, she's an angry kind of zombie person, they kind of figure her shit out. She like wants to get revenge on Thea, just go with it right now, and then she becomes the White Canary. And as I told Carrie, DC characters on the CW don't die, they get reborn and given their own spin-off series. So this evening's topic is, what the actual fuck is going on with the DC TV universe? And I can't just say CW, because you have Supergirl wafting off on her own little island as well, crossing over with The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow.
Supergirl's on CW now.
Oh, Jesus. So, I had a... It wasn't even inexplicable. I was going to say inexplicable obsession with Arrow. And part of it happened to be because they had the just lovely, lovely Manu Bennett playing Slade Wilson for Season 2. And they even brought in Summer Glau into that one. And Season 2, I will actually stand by, Season 2 was, for being total schlock, it was pretty good. Season 3, they cast Matt Nable as Ra's al Ghul. Ra's has never looked so good. and then Season 4 was my breaking point, because after watching 4 seasons of Felicity and Arrow, and Oliver are going to get together. No, they're not going to get together. Just kidding. No, they're together. No, they're not together. No, they're together. No, they can't be together. No, they're together. No, they still can't be together. No, they're together. But she's kind of not sure she wants to be with him now. And then the baby mama showed up, and I rage quit. So I haven't finished Season 4, and therefore I have really no idea what's going on in the CW universe, because I watched Legends of Tomorrow, I wanted to kill myself. Okay, I'm gonna jump off the soapbox right now. What do you got, Carrie?
Well, I'm not watching Arrow.
God bless you for it.
The only time I've ever seen Arrow is when he does crossovers on The Flash. And I think it was the very first episode, or the first two episodes, because Oliver trained The Flash a little bit.
Yes.
And he came, I think it wasn't the first episode, it was a couple of episodes later, because he actually... And actually, that was kind of a humorous episode, because he does shoot Barry in the back with an arrow. And but what lost it for me with Arrow was when he was helping Barry solve this crime, and he pulled a Christian Bale Batman move and just, you know, instead of being a greatest detective, just strolled right into this place, drew his arrow, and in the Christian Bale Batman voice was like, "Where is it?" And I just kind of put my head in my hands and like, no, this is the Green Arrow. This is, or actually it's not the Green Arrow. It's Arrow. This is not a Batman. And then I think there was another crossover episode that happened later, and I was like texting Jen, like, okay, so who are these people that are with Arrow? Like, who's this girl? And like his little sister, that's not his sister in the comics. Like, who is that? And she's like, "Oh, that's Speedy." I'm like, okay, no. No.
Yeah, that's Speedy. Honestly,
so is there no Roy Harper at all?
There was Roy Harper. Oh, God. So funny you ask that. So there was Roy Harper, and he kind of plays this bad boy that Thea has an on-again, off-again romance with, and I don't know if it was an issue with the actor himself, but so in season two he gets injected with the Mirakuru. If you don't know what that is, I guess I'm not even going to tell you to Google search it, because there be dragons. And he becomes like an angry super soldier type guy, and he can't really control his rage, and it becomes this big thing that can Roy control his powers, dun dun dun. And he does like he thought that he killed Sarah for a while, because he kind of goes a little batty and kills people. Don't ask. Anyways, so they basically wrote him off the series at the end of season three. They were just done. Nope, he's gone. He's leaving. And after they even kind of gave him this redemption arc that, no, I'm going to clean my shit up and I'm going to be good now. And he gives his red coat. He was Arsenal. He gives his coat to Thea, and she becomes then his sidekick. I think he has like six sidekicks now. I don't know. I stopped watching. The whole Damien Doc thing just drove me into... You really have to appreciate the Boston accent when you say his name. I don't know. And then I watched Legends of Tomorrow, and I felt icky after watching it because it was so fucking nonsensical.
See, and the thing about Legends of Tomorrow is, like, for me personally, because I came in The Flash, because, I mean, I am a Flash fan. I always have been. So I really wanted to see what they were going. And the first season of The Flash was fantastic. It was like what The Flash should be. Barry Allen is this comical guy, not taking things too seriously. And, I mean, some of his friends are kind of weird. Like, I don't understand why The Flash has to have, like, this team around him. Because he never really did in the comics, but you know, whatever, they got to have this huge teaching thing, and they have to explain, you know, why Harrison Wells is evil, and but anyway, I don't remember where I was going with that.
Well, you know, they kind
of
had
Legends of Tomorrow. So there's this one episode, yeah. Legends of Tomorrow. It's when Cisco starts getting his powers, where he becomes Vibe. And he keeps sensing this Hawk person. He doesn't know who it is, though. It turns out it's this girl that he's dating. I was like, oh, my God, they're bringing in Hawk Girl. This is so exciting. And so she appeared for one episode, and then she left. Like, they kiss goodbye, but he says he's going to help her, and they kiss. And then the next episode, she's gone. I'm like, did I miss something? Where did she go? Like, this is like a promising new character, and I don't understand where she went. And then I hear about Legends of Tomorrow, where Hot Girl is going to be in it, as well as Captain Cold. I'm like, okay, well, explains why he suddenly disappeared. And, and Firestorm.
Heatwave and Firestorm, yep.
Because, I mean, they disappeared, and I loved those two actors as Firestorm, especially the older guy. I cannot remember the actor's name, but he's been in, like, everything under the sun. And he looks like he's having a lot of fun in this role. But he, So I've really, like, enjoyed that. And then when Legends of Tomorrow, and I wasn't watching that, it's like, I'm not able to watch very much TV. And so, but Jen was, and I asked her, it's like, is it any good? And she was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing ever. And
God, it's so bad.
So, and from this crossover, I just saw today that happened this past Tuesday, Hawkgirl's not even there. So I guess they wrote her off in a hurry. Do you know what happened to her? Did Vandal Savage finally kill them both?
Oh, shit. I don't remember. I don't think so. Maybe they did. So, like, I watched... Oh, God. Like, I, like, tentatively watched, like, the first two-thirds of the season. But the last two or three episodes, I was doing other things while watching. I was multitasking, and I'm not sure I really effectively multitasked. They kind of lost me when they killed off Captain Cold. And Heatwave, which they didn't really kill off, and then Captain Cold, of course, isn't actually killed off because, you know, they have the Hall of Time at their disposal. But the reason that those two got killed off was because they're rebooting that Prison Break show, and I just can't right now. And Hawkgirl, I really... So, I really loved the Justice League cartoon. Justice League Unlimited was okay, but Justice League was where it was really at for me.
The problem with Justice League Unlimited was that I think that was like the because like Justice League was two seasons, Justice League Unlimited was like the next two seasons. But the problem with Unlimited is that, you know, it started off like any Justice League episode, and then they like panned backward, and there's like 200 fucking superheroes down below. It's like that.
Well, that was... So the first two seasons, they're like, okay, look, this is the Justice League, and here is their story. And I thought it really worked well. And, of course, that Hawkgirl Green Lantern, like, love story that they had, I loved that. God, that was so good. And then in Justice League Unlimited, I felt like they were like, oh, hey, guess what? Apparently there's, like, other superheroes we could bring into this mix, too. So, like, every episode felt like they were trying to be like, hey, did you know that there's this superhero, that the superhero exists? And there were just too many people in it. But, so I really loved Hawkgirl from that, right? So I was really excited to see that they were going to have Hawkgirl, and just no.
That's a shame. Because she was also really good in Young Justice. She didn't have a really big part in Young Justice, but she was there. She was still a badass. She still would swing her mace and, you know, kill lots of people. But, well, that's disappointing, but I'm not that surprised because as much as I love The Flash, like Arrow, was good for the first two seasons. I even liked the second season that was about Earth 2. I know that goes against everything in me, but I really did.
Tisk, tisk, tisk.
I think they put it together very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
And but then at the end of the second season, they went to Flashpoint, which is a relatively new thing, and I know that we've discussed it a little bit, because Flashpoint is what started the New 52 comics of DC. That's what started the whole reboot, because Flashpoint was the time when Barry had saved his mom, and because of that, basically the world was hell. Bruce Wayne was the one who was killed. His father became Batman. This is just to name a few things. His dad ended up dying of cancer. You know, Barry doesn't have superpowers. Everything's gone to shit. You know, it's just this awful, awful existence. And while he still remembered the future that he had, he worked with Bruce Wayne's father to reset back time, basically make it back, go back the way it was, and not prevent Zoom from killing his mother. And because of that, yes, everything seemed to be 100% the same, but it changed a little bit. Like, for example, in the beginning of the New 52, Barry is not with Iris. He's not even really friends with Iris. Wally mm-hmm. West is not a redhead kid. He's a black kid. And that's just in differences in The Flash. There's all these other differences, which is really how DC, you know, rebooted that whole thing. So
right.
The problem is with, and this is like really what I think the topic is, it's not that, you know, what the fuck is CW doing? It's when will these TV shows stop trying to cram 25 years of comic book lore into 26 1-hour or 45-minute episodes? Because what's going on with Flashpoint? Like, yes, everything has changed, and he remembers his time, but everything has changed now. And so you'll be happy that you're not in this, because Caitlin Snow, I know is your favorite character from The Flash.
Oh my god.
Is becoming Killer Frost.
Okay.
And she's not a good villainous actress.
She's not a good actress at all, but yeah, no, I cannot see her. Since her entire thing, like, every line she delivers is like she just walked in on her best friends having sex, and she needs to get out of the room, but she doesn't want to be rude. Like, every line she says is delivered in this, hi, I don't know what's going on now, like, voice, and no, I can't see her.
That is so true. That is true. Yeah.
I can't see her being a villain. I just can't.
Well, she's kind of going back and forth. Like, when she uses her powers, she kind of becomes evil. So they got, like, dampeners on her so that she can't use them, which is... She's trying to figure out a way to get rid of them. But the cool thing about The Flash right now is that they got Tom Felton of Harry Potter fame in there. And he is brilliant. I mean, he, you know... Doesn't matter what you think of Draco Malfoy. The fact that if you hated Draco Malfoy, that shows that Tom Felton was an amazing actor. And
actually, one of my favorite quotes from J.K. Rowling was, she said that at book signings and stuff, people come over to her and they often tell her what a huge crush they have on Draco Malfoy. And she would be, and she would always tell those people, yeah, that's because Tom Felton's a really good actor and adorable. The character is a horrible human being.
Right, right.
The actor is amazing. So whenever I think it, whenever I see him, I always think of that. I was like, dude, you made this asshole character. Like, people like this asshole character. That's how good you were.
Right, right. But, you know, that's one thing my mom always said, ever since I was very little, you know, she's like, if you really hate a character, that means I was a good actor.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I'm really finding that to be true. Like, let's look at Alan Rickman, for example, in Harry Potter with, you know, Severus Snape. He played that character perfectly. And I've seen, you know, Alan Rickman in these roles where you just hate him. And then these roles where you just want to, you know, like, just hug him and tell him it's going to be okay. You know, so Tom Felton's been kind of like a nice little breath of fresh air. And the other good thing about The Flash is the actor, I never say his name right, if it's Ted or Tom Cavanaugh. He plays Harrison Wells. And he keeps coming back as different iterations of Harrison Wells. Like, in season 2, he was a Harrison Wells from Earth 2, and it was a totally different character. And now he's playing a Harrison Wells from another Earth 2. And so he's not a scientist. He's actually trying to make it as a poet, but doesn't tell anybody that, because he's just there. And every time they start talking about stuff, he's like, oh, so writing stuff down in his journal. Like, what are you doing? Like, nothing. And then they come out later, like, oh, yeah, he's, like, trying to write a book. And like, he's, like, carrying around drumsticks, and he wants everyone to call him HR. He's, like, everybody's buddy. And so what I love about that is, like, that's just, like, how wonderful Kavanaugh is, because he is so diverse. And you saw that in the first season, that he was, like, Barry's best friend, but then he would turn so evil, like, on a, you know.
Like, on a dime.
Yeah. So, that's about the only thing that's enjoyable. Like, Barry and Iris are finally together, and I hate them together.
Because Iris is the literal worst.
They're almost Bella and Edward. Annoying.
Oh, Jesus.
And now,
well, you know what? She was that obnoxious to begin with. God, I hated her character. I hate her character so much. In the show.
Right, in the show, yes. Like, and I don't think her character is not the actress's fault. It is, to me, it's the way that that she has been written. She is not as good of a, she's not a strong character as she normally is in the comics. But, so yeah, The Flash, like, I'm kind of like, going back on. And then this crossover happened. And it's like, now they got aliens. And so, and it's a race I'd never even heard of in all my years of comics. I never heard of the Dominators.
The Dominators, isn't it?
Yeah, I hadn't heard of them. I was expecting, like, See, now I'm going to get my alien races confused between Marvel and DC of who comes over. I can't even think of it right now. But anyway. So I'm just... And I can't believe I left that on the entire episode. And I was like, surely it's going to get better. And it doesn't. And so I got to see Legends of Tomorrow People. And I learned that White Canary is annoying. Heatwave is not funny. Ollie still thinks the only way to get something done is to get in the brood voice.
Yep.
And
all of these things are known.
Yeah. And and I've bailed on Supergirl as well. And I really liked for Supergirl the first season. It was just delightful, just fun, just a nice breath of fresh air. It was just fun. But since it moved to CW, they were kind of CWing it, and my favorite character left. That was Calista Flockhart's character.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh my god, why'd she go? And they're like, oh, she didn't, CW moved the production to Vancouver, and she didn't want to go to Vancouver. So she's like, mm-hmm. And she didn't have to work. I mean, seriously, she's like, peace out, people, I'm good. And I think I watched it for about 3 or 4 episodes, and I was like, you know what, I've totally lost interest in this, like, what she is doing, what is going on, I don't care. Yeah, because they're bringing in, like, Lena Luthor and all the stuff with Lex and the anti-alien. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't care.
So, you know, I think, so two of my biggest problems with the CW show, so first off with Arrow, my biggest problem with Arrow is that they clearly wanted to make a Batman show, but they couldn't get the rights to Batman, so they just took Green Arrow. Well, and I'm not, like, I say that, like, haha, but I also mean it kind of seriously, because if you think about it, he's broody and he's angry and he uses the big, you have failed this city voice, right? And, like, he's just this dark, and if you ever read Green Arrow, you know that Green Arrow was kind of a sillier character. Like, he wasn't afraid to be funny.
He was a wise ass.
Yeah, and this guy's totally serious. He's super serial. And, like, you know, season 3, his biggest nemesis is Ra's al Ghul. Really? Like, are you serious right now? And then even in season 2, the fact that he was fighting Slade Wilson, right? Which, if you're... That's typically a person who's associated, at least in my mind, with the stuff that I usually read, I usually associate him with Robin, who is from the Batman universe. And I understand that they're all from the same universe, technically, but I felt like they wanted to make a Batman show, but they got stuck with Green Arrow, and this is what they've done. But my biggest problem, and you've touched on this a couple times in your side of the rant, is that CW is horrible to its female characters. Just horrible. And I'm not saying that they're great to the male characters, because Oliver is fucking, oh my god, he's so goddamn whiny. He can't make his decision. He's like a weather vane. It's just, he changes from episode to episode how he feels about things. And Detective Lance is just awful. Awful. He's another guy that he's just constantly brooding and he can't see logic.
How many Lances are around? Sounds like there's a lot.
There's Dinah and, God, I can't think of Detective Lance's name off the top of my head. They're the parents, and then they have Sarah and Laurel as their daughters. So, and,
Dinah's the...
But Laurel...
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Don't ask. When I first heard that, I thought I heard it wrong, and no, I didn't. Laurel is awful, and she always has been awful. Sarah was never very enjoyable. She was probably the best out of the bunch. Thea spent the first 2 seasons being pretty terrible, and then the 3rd season, like, she would have moments of glory where you're like, oh, good, they're going to do something really cool with her character, and then she would, I need to turn myself in and let Sarah kill me. I should die, or Laurel kill me, or whoever, Nyssa, kill me, because I killed Sarah. Like, it was terrible. And then you have Iris, who they do not treat Iris very well. They do not treat Caitlin Snow very well. They do not treat Felicity very well. And it's not just because those girls are only allowed to wear short skirts and heels. They're always the killjoys. They remind me of every female character from a Judd Apatow movie ever. Like, they're just there to suck the joy out of things, or to worry about things, or to make drama, or they're just there to do these, and, like, I think it was season 3, where Felicity just had so many emotions. Like, just... Every time that Felicity was on screen, it was for her to be having emotions, some type of emotion. Oh my god, no. They're terrible to their female characters. Just terrible. And I don't think they do it intentionally. Like, I don't think they're sitting there like, fuck these bitches, am I right? I just think that nobody has, like, called attention to this to them. Like, hey, did you realize that you've made all the female characters the literal worst?
Well, in The Flash, they're kind of doing that to the males as well. Like, Barry is sad all the time.
Oh, God, sad Barry. He was sad all, God, season one. Every episode was, I feel really good and I'm really awesome. Oh, wait, I had a roadblock. I suck. I shouldn't be doing this anymore. Maybe it would be better if I was dead and never was a superhero. Oh, thanks, friends. I can do this, can't I? I feel good about myself.
I'm laughing.
Tell
it's
me.
True.
I was going to say, tell me that's not true.
No, but now it's just, he's just sad all the time.
Oh, Jesus.
Because of Flashpoint. It's all his fault. Because the thing is, like, everybody's changed a little bit.
Right.
You know, like, you know, Caitlin is now developing powers. And, before Flashpoint, Cisco's brother was alive, but he was always mooching off of Cisco and like, hey, let's go to dinner. And then telling Cisco, you're going to pay for this, right? You got the cushy job, right? And Cisco, like, hated him. But, you know, in that way that, you know, brothers hate brothers. Well, and post-Flashpoint, his brother is dead. He died in a car accident. And apparently he had been begging Flash for several months to please go mm-hmm. back in time and save my brother. And so, but because Flash wouldn't, and now that, you know, now that's past Flashpoint, Barry's like, wait, what? His brother's dead? What's going on, man?
And I have no idea what's happening.
And Cisco won't forgive him for it. So he's like all broody and upset about it. And they also took away one of the other amazing things about Cisco is that if you remember pre-Flashpoint, he was the funny one. He was one who's always quoting these movies and, like, you know, especially the nerdy movies and would come up with names for the villains.
He was my favorite
stuff.
Character in the show.
Yeah, now he's like, no, I don't really watch movies. And he's like, I'm not really creative with names. So he's like,
oh, fucking great.
Yeah, they've flatlined him. And just as he and Barry were making headway about the thing with his brother, you know, Caitlin, she was kind of trying to kill her Frost, and she was just like, I don't understand why you guys are even friends with Barry. She's like, he basically killed your brother, Cisco, because he decided to go back in time and fix his life. Now your brother's dead, and it's all his fault. And now it started all over again. So this whole crossover, Cisco and Barry went to the Earth where Supergirl is, because she's not on the same Earth that they all are.
Okay.
So they went there to get her because they need help learning how to fight against super strong aliens. So they go and get her, bring her back. But when Cisco introduces herself, she's like, oh, are you a friend of Barry's? He's like, oh, no, we're not friends. We're just coworkers. And I'm like,
oh.
Really? Oh, like, and I don't know what the answer is, except to say that somehow cartoons have done this better.
I started thinking about this the other day, right? Actually, you know what dawned on me? I had that, you know how Facebook pops up, and on this day, right, and they show memories? So there was a thing in which I had shared out this thing that I totally forgot about why Batman the Animated Series was so goddamn good. And it occurred to me that the animated series, Teen Titans, Justice League, Young Justice to an extent, and there's another one I'm forgetting. It'll come to me in a minute. They created kind of their own spin on the world, and they told a lot of their stories while occasionally weaving comic stories in, like iconic comic stories. But they primarily just tried to tell, like, hey, we have this interesting story. And when they did it, they told a Batman story that fit within the Batman universe, right? They made a Teen Titans story that fit within the Teen Titans universe. CW waffles between two things of trying to make this entirely our own thing. And in the Crease of Green Arrow, this would never fit into a Green Arrow comic. This would make zero sense. Our characters are totally off the fucking wall from Green Arrow, but we're going with it. But then they also were like, oh, hey, you remember this really iconic storyline, like Flashpoint? We're just going to bring that in and make it work. And as you said, so they have like this weird dichotomy of, well, we're trying to cram 45 years of lore into these tiny little episodes, but we're also trying to make something that's totally new and totally ours. And I'm not sure you can do that in the way that they do it.
And, you know, and maybe that's why Marvel has had a little bit more success with their TV shows, because Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., now I don't watch it now, but the first two seasons were pretty darn good. And I think it's because they took, basically Marvel Cinematic Universe took the characters they already created, which is Agent Coulson, and then they took some other, they worked within the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're not trying to retell comic stories. They're just building this thing in the middle of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, which that the MCU is telling certain iconic stories, but they're putting their own spin on it, like Ultron. People could be really mad about Ultron, like, oh my gosh, you didn't have Hank Pym make Ultron? Like, again, people, you can't put 25 years of comic book lore into a two-hour movie and have it make any sense.
Right.
You know who tried to do that? The third X-Men movie did with the Dark Phoenix saga. And how well did that go? It was fucking awful. That X-Men movie was when I stopped watching the X-Men movies, was right there. Like, I can't believe I paid money to see this. Sean's like, we should buy that? I'm like, God. No, we're not. We are not buying it. It ends at X2, X-Men United, and that's, we are happy with that. But, you know, I never thought about it that way, but I think you're exactly right. It's because I've tried to think of Batman Animated Series, and I can't really think of a iconic comic story that they told in there. They took the characters that already existed in the Batman world and then just made their own stories. So it's like everyone still had their proper place, like with Commissioner Gordon and his daughter. And then, you know, they brought in Dick Grayson and, you know, Alfred was there. And they kept them. Oh, and Harvey Bullard and all those, Harvey Bullard, you know who I'm talking about. Bullard and Harvey Dent and like all those characters. Mm-hmm. They were keeping them in there, but they had their own, they were telling their own different stories, so that where they could have fit into the comics, but they were still their own thing. And maybe that is what the issue is. And like, and with The Flash, maybe that's why the first season was so good, because it wasn't trying to set Flash stories. I mean, that's where they brought back Mark Hamill to be the Trickster for no other reason but just to have Mark Hamill come back as the Trickster.
Well, and also, that to me, too, is like, okay, well, we can't get the rights to the Joker. Let's make Mark Hamill be something called the Trickster. And if there's somebody out there who doesn't know that he voiced the Joker in the Batman the Animated Series and is arguably one of the greatest Jokers to ever grace the screen.
Okay, but
there you go.
Okay, but you do know the Trickster is a real character in the Flash universe.
I do.
And Mark Hamill was the Trickster in the Flash TV show from the 90s.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I do. But to me, the way that they pulled him in there, it just, to me, I was watching it, and I know that the Trickster was kind of his own version of the Joker, but like, I don't know, to me, and I think it was just because when I saw that, like, I was so over Arrow when I started watching Flash, that I just kept everything that was happening, I was like, oh, okay, I get it, you guys are doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this, I get it. Every now and then I do forget that there was a 90s Flash show, though. I will totally be honest on that. I'd always forget that show existed until somebody points it out, and then I'm like, oh, right, I even watched it. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, too, if it's a matter of respect. Like, you look at, say, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and Marvel's, you know, has their money behind that. You look at Daredevil. Marvel's clearly all in behind that. You look at Batman the Animated Series. That was a group of people who loved Batman, and they made this series, right? I don't get the impression that DC is really invested in Arrow beyond the fact that it's a cash cow for them. I don't get the impression that the people behind Arrow were like, oh my God, you don't understand. I am a huge Green Arrow fan. I really respect the characters and the lore, and I love it. I can't help but feel like with that, especially with Arrow, that it was a, hey, comic book properties are hot right now, right?
Like, oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, that... I mean, at least DC has... gotten behind their movies, but it's almost like what you're saying, like with the TV shows, they've just kind of like, oh, well, yeah, we can make some money on this. Here you go. And unfortunately, that's how it feels, what they do with some of their own comic books lately. But
oh my god, which is probably a good seg into our what we've been reading this week. I don't have many issues. I don't know about you.
I really don't either, because
I had two DC issues that I just. Why?
Well, I actually did not have any new comic books this week.
I didn't either, but I had last week. I had four, and two of them were DC, Carrie. Two of them were
I
DC.
Had three of them were DC. I had Flash, Titans, Teen Titans, and The Mighty Thor. Like, I don't know how much longer I can put up with The Mighty Thor. I don't know what they're doing with this comic. I'm losing it that the hammer is sentient.
That shit, you lost me there. Like, I wasn't going to read it anyways, but you have fucking lost me.
And so, like, now what's going on is that the dark elves led by Malekith are, like, wreaking havoc across the 10 realms, and no one's fighting against them. And so Thor and an elf and a troll and a giant and Roz from S.H.I.E.L.D. and other people, and Sif and Angela have all gotten together to recreate the League of Realms, and by doing so, they have branded themselves as potential outlaws forever if they were caught because they'd be committing treason. I don't fully understand why. But the best line of the whole thing was when Roz from S.H.I.E.L.D. pulled aside Thor and said, "I don't know if we can really do very much with these Tolkien Avengers." And I'm like, yeah, this is kind of like the Tolkien Avengers. And I just don't understand why, like, nobody else is coming in to stop the Dark Elves from taking over the realms. I don't understand why this ragtag group of people has to do it. Like, I know that I know Odin's really pissy right now that his son doesn't have the hammer, but surely he understands that, you know, Malekith taking over is bad.
You know, it seems as though comics, and this is pandemic throughout all comics, even my hipster comics, and you know, movies, TV shows, really, I guess any type of popular media, it seems that when something's not a big deal, it's just a plot device, right? Like, if something's not a big deal, but we need to have some drama, somebody comes in and, oh my god! If it's an issue and the heroes need to save the day, oh my god! But when we need to, like, blow this huge thing to create a big, like, catastrophe, suddenly everybody's like, huh, what? What? What's going on? I have no idea. What? Is there something going on up there? I don't know. It drives me insane. But it sounds like that's what's going on there.
Yeah, I know, and the problem with this is, with it being, like, a monthly issue, and so many characters are in it, I forget what the hell happened.
Like, who the fuck are you again?
Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of been my big beef, and that's one reason why, like, I do love trades, is to sit there and just read the entire volume, mm-hmm. and you get all of it, like, oh, I can finally understand this. I tell you what, if I didn't buy the trades for Red Hood and the Outlaws, I probably would have no fucking clue what was going on in that comic, because it jumped around right. so much, especially with the whole Lazarus Pit and the all cast and blah, 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 all that stuff. But, and I'm having the same issue right now with both Titans and Teen Titans. Like, Titans, I still haven't done my reviews for Titans or Teen Titans from last week, but, like, Titans, I'm waiting, like, for this, you know, the whole thing with what's going on with Wally, how he was taken out of the time stream, and, you know, who helped, I forget the magician's name, Abra, do all this, and, or Kadabra, that's his name, whatever. Abby Kadabi, let's call him that. Works in Sesame Street, damn it.
Wait, does he have one spoon or two spoons?
He doesn't have any spoons. He is an Abra, so it must mean he's an Abra. Because Abra has no spoons.
No spoons.
I actually named my Abra Pokemon Go No Spoons.
No spoons.
But, okay, so, anyway. And what he's done to trick, he really hates Wally West. Like, what he's gone, the lengths he's gone to get rid of him, like, permanently, again, is amazing. And it looks like he might have done it, but I think we all know that it, of course, that's not,
you know, right.
They're not going to bring Wally back and trip up this whole, like, rebirth thing and just have him be killed all over again or disappear in the time stream or whatever it was.
Or are they?
I don't know. But it's kind of like, I got to the end of this last issue and I was like, okay, I'll just have to wait till next month because I sure. But, you know, with you talking about Ra's al Ghul, so with Teen Titans, what's interesting about that is that I've been wondering what the hell is going on. Like, because instead of, like, going up to people and saying hi, Damian Wayne just kidnaps four people. And it's like, hey, we're going to form a team, yo.
This doesn't even surprise me about him.
And he kidnaps Kid Flash. Which is funny because what's really funny about him bringing Kid Flash in there was that Wally West hadn't become Kid Flash yet in the Flash comic. Mm-hmm. So that was fun. It's like, oh, spoilers. So you know, Kid Flash, he kidnaps Starfire, which I'm like, she's not a teen at all. Yeah. Starfire, Beast Boy, and I want to say there was somebody else, but I cannot remember for the life of me who. Regardless, kidnaps them all, and is like, we're going to form a team. And they're like, no, you kidnapped us, we want anything to do with you. And he's like, oh no, and it's like, well, we have to, or we're all going to die. And of course, then you wait the next issue, like, why are you all going to die? Well, I just found out why they're all going to die.
Uh-oh.
The reason why they're all going to die is because on his 13th birthday, he received a gift from his grandfather, who is Ra's al Ghul, who dropped off it was a box, and there was a dead robin inside. That was the gift
that keeps on giving.
Right? Which was pretty much a message. And his mother, Talia, shows up to wish him a happy birthday, and of course, you know, Damian being Damian, he's like, it figures that the League of Assassins is all here to wish me happy birthday. My own father's not even here, and she's trying, right? And so she's trying to get him to leave with her to, you know, take your rightful place in our family. And he was like, nah, I'll pass. And she said, well, the game is about to start. You might want to rethink this. Well, what she meant was that when they initiate new people in League of Assassins, they have to, there's like initiation rites where they have to hit certain marks.
Right.
And they get to choose their targets. Well, these new five teen titans are the chosen marks, which is why
Of course they are. Which
is why he's brought them together. He's like, we gotta fight as a team to go against the League. And, like, I don't know why he just couldn't come up to them and be like, hey.
Hey, guess what?
You're about to be murdered. Why don't we, like...
Okay. On one hand, like, it's Damian Wayne. Like, really? Civil conversation? Like, normal conversation? No. Not from Damian. I can't expect that.
I thought I could. Raven! That's the other one.
Yay, so, Raven!
Yeah, she's gotten weird. Okay, like, I don't know what they've done to Raven. Alright? She was pretty awesome.
I can't have no answers.
She was, I mean, obviously her character started with the new Teen Titans comic, which started in the 80s. And the way that they did her character in the new 52 Teen Titans, the second iteration, the first one did not exist. Just, no. 2011, nope. Didn't happen. Forget it. And they really made her a pretty awesome character. And then when Tim was killed, I'm doing air quotes, Tim was killed, and they decided to disband because they have no life worth living, I guess, she decides to go to high school or something?
Yes.
And so she starts
That's what's going on in her series.
And she cut her hair and then dyed the ends pink and has suddenly, like, shrunk in stature because she was a woman in Teen Titans.
She's 17?
So I guess that they decided, let's just roll back the age. And so, and they've made her, and they've really made her a high school, like, student in this current Teen Titans as well, which is just kind of annoying to see her go from who she was in the new 52 Teen Titans to how the Teen Titans in Rebirth are.
Right.
But yeah, so they're all, so right now they're, and of course, because of they all got brought together, these league initiates are like, thank you, you brought them all together. We don't have to work.
It's even easier now.
Right? Buffet. So that's what they're currently doing, is all trying to fight together and actually work together as a team. But they're having trouble doing it because they're, you know, they don't trust their leader because, I don't know, because he kidnapped them.
Right.
And Starfire, what I've figured, because she keeps talking about Dick Grayson a lot. And she keeps saying, she's like, oh, I'll trust him because he always talked about how he really beloved you as a younger brother.
Right.
And, of course, then, you know, Damien's just like, shut up. Like, he's not like that. But you can see he's smiling. Like, okay. But, but again, it's one of those that's like every month. So it's hard to follow. And when you got that much action going on, it's really hard to follow.
Right.
I find that Uncanny Avengers and Uncanny X-Men both handle the constant action thing very, very well. Because it doesn't really entirely carry over from issue to issue. So it's easier to keep up with what's going on.
Right.
That's pretty much all I got. Like, I think I just got my notice for what I'm getting next week. And, well, I need to save my pennies. Apparently I got like 6 issues coming in next week.
You know, I just got... Here, now I have to look at my list. Because I just got my thing from Comixology. You know, I like to call it the warning email.
Right.
Like, by the way.
Warning. We're about to breach your account.
Danger, Will Robinson. Actually, I only have The Wicked and Divine next week. It's going to be a kind of light week. I'm in this weird limbo right now.
All
right,
you need to check your actual account, your subscription page. Because mine only had 3 comics, and I was like, I don't know if that's right. And I went to the subscription page, and sure enough, I have 6.
Oh, Mother Fletcher. I guess I'm about to check that out then, shit. Because, I looked at it, and I was like, phew, just The Wicked and the Divine. So the things that I had this past week were, let's see, I had Hellblazer, which... Why am I reading this series?
Because of the Swamp Thing.
Because of Swamp Thing, yeah. And I do actually really like Constantine. I don't even know.
Now, there's another TV show that failed.
You know what? Which is such a shame, because Hellblazer, Constantine, was the OG Supernatural, but then Supernatural has been on for, like, I don't know, like 35 years or something like that. And it's... So now, like, when Constantine came out, I felt like everybody was like, oh, it's another Supernatural, and I want to be like, you idiots. And Matt Ryan was just born to play that part. So, anyways, I digress. and I just totally coughed into my mic. Apologies. I'm just getting over the consumption. So, the series, it's so fucking Oh my god, it is dragging at a snail's pace. And like, so I don't know if anybody out listening or if you have seen the Plinkett reviews for Star Wars. Oh my god, the Red Letter Media, they're brilliant. If you ever want, like, if you ever want to spend, it's like an hour and 45 minutes, a well-spent hour and 45 minutes. This man, it's called Red Letter Media, this guy, his character's name is called Plinkett. He does a complete breakdown for why the prequels sucked so bad from a Star Wars fan's point of view. Basically, it's why these aren't as good as the first ones. And he has this really funny one for Attack of the Clones, the second one. Wait, is that the second one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the second one. And I try to pretend those movies don't exist on a good day. And he's talking about how they keep hinting that maybe Palpatine is doing something bad, right? And he keeps yelling. He's like, Palpatine's behind it! We know this! Palpatine's behind it! And I feel that way with this series. Like, now that they revealed that it's the djinn, which I can't even say that word. I'm just going with genies, because partially because I'm stuffed up, and another because I've just never known how to pronounce that word. D-J-I-N-N. Djinn? Djinn?
I always just said djinn.
Yeah, me too, but I feel like it's wrong. I don't know, genies. They're fucking genies, guys.
They're evil genies.
Evil genies, yes, that's true. And they're not confined to an itty-bitty living space. And
they don't grant you wishes.
No. It's terrible. And it just, the whole time, like, they're just dragging it on, and I'm just sitting there like, I get it, it's the genies behind it, I get it. And I don't have any idea how this ties into the rest of the Rebirth arc. Still, no idea what we're doing here, no idea why we're telling this story, and it's just...
Well, see, the Green Arrow was the same way. I don't think it really tied in either, you know?
Which is so weird. Like, why are you doing this?
Because, I mean, just with the whole Rebirth is... I don't know. I don't. They just decided that they're gonna have, the Watchmen. I guess suddenly, like, I don't know. Zap, you know, some reboot the universe. I guess, you know, control alt delete. Let's restart it and have the Watchmen be involved. And then somehow that meant that, you know, why they decided that had to mean that. Oh wait, people like the redheaded Wally West. I guess. We can't have him just suddenly disappear because of Flashpoint. So he was taken and tossed into a time stream. That's right. So why are there two Wally West? Well, let's not get into that right now.
Don't worry about that right now.
So, I mean, in the Green Arrow was the same way. The only difference is like with the Green Arrow, because it was like everything kind of got reshifted, he never knew Dinah. He never knew Black Canary. And it was Rebirth that they actually get together. And there's this whole thing where, like, the former Titans... They were trying to find something in someone, but they didn't know who. And it turns out that was Wally West. They had this feeling that they needed to find this person. And this was all in the New 52. So it was like, I don't know what goes on in those board meetings, but I would love to be in one of those writers' meetings. Because you know that for all of this, they all have to get together to discuss what's going on in these respective universes so they can see how they can all keep it together with what's going on with DC. And I would...
Or do they?
Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't.
I swear to God, I feel like they're shooting from the hip right now. As I read that, and then I read Batgirl, and Batgirl is... It's still good. It's still good. I like her. I like it. It's fun. But I still don't feel how this has any connection to Rebirth. And I guess my big complaint is that if you're not going to tie it to the Rebirth arc, that's cool. I don't want to have to deal with the Watchmen, so I'd actually greatly appreciate if this doesn't tie into Rebirth. But on the other hand, why label it Rebirth?
Because now they've rebooted it all. Like,
I guess, but like, you know when you're watching... Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
Okay, so you know the scene where Uma Thurman she's laying on the ground because she's just OD'd,
mm-hmm.
and he's holding the adrenaline shot above her, and... It's considered to be, like, one of the best shots from a movie ever, right? Because the tension is so high, right? As they're looking at her, and then they go looking at the needle, and it's dripping, and everyone's like, oh my god, and you're just sitting there like, oh god, I know he's gonna do it. I feel like that reading Swamp Thing and Batgirl, because I'm like, oh god, I know they're gonna tie the Watchmen in here. I know, is this gonna be the issue where the other foot drops? Oh god, here it comes, here! Okay, no, nothing happened. Alright, we're good. Alright.
Well, I
like this tension, like, lurking off in the corners, like, hey, we're coming.
From what I understand and from what I have read, the only clues have been kind of, like, dropped around about that were those who were in the DC Universe Rebirth number one. And basically, who that affects is Superman, because he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this other Superman in, and Batman, because he found the smiley face button with the blood on it in his cave. Obviously, we got Flash because of Wally. That and everything's just fucking Flash's fault. And the Titans because of Wally. Teen Titans, not so much. Batgirl and the Birds of Prey, not so much. Green Arrow, not so much. Cyborg... He's actually researching it because he's one of the key members of the Justice League. So I have a feeling that what it is like, if you read Batman, which I don't, and Justice League, which I don't, it's a little more tied into that whole, the Watchmen thing. So everything else has just got, you know, it's kind of like the New 52. At least with the New 52, what they're able to do is like, oh, well, because of Flashpoint, it's been rebooted, so it all makes sense. Problem with Rebirth is like you said, it is like it all feels like it should be connected to whatever the DC Universe Rebirth number one was about, and then but they're all not. And I guess what they did maybe kind of weakly with Rebirth number one was basically show that something has happened. Mm-hmm. Everything has changed. It's not... the reason why the New 52... I'm trying to think of how to put this. Because the New 52, what happened in that is...
It's so succinct.
But the New 52, what happened in that is still going on. Like, it's not like that was erased, like what they did with Flashpoint. But what's going on here is that there's been an awakening. Wally returning out of the time stream has kicked in this awakening of something else that really happened during Flashpoint. So, and I guess, and I don't know why, so... That, to me, could be, like, its own little story. I don't know why they're doing, like, another reboot, but it gets to people buying comics. Hell, it worked. It got me buying comics.
Yeah, it got me back into DC after I found I was never going to read DC again.
Who's the idiot here, huh? Marvel kind of does that, too, but they don't, you know, label it with these huge, like, at least, like, not everything is labeled, you know, post-Secret Wars. Thank God. Mm-hmm. They just use the Secret Wars as a way, like, yes, everything has, like, merged together. Some worlds died. This went away. Now that's all been fixed and put back in place, watch where it goes. It's all good. Mm-hmm. And then they just, you know, restarted with number ones with stuff and just kind of moved on from there. That's how they did it. I think that was a better way of doing it. DC, I think, got confused between Flashpoint and the Convergence and yeah.
Yep. Makes sense. I'm reading these titles and I'm like, why am I reading these? Like, why am I reading these?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm enjoying Batgirl and the Birds of Prey. It's a fun comic to read. And yeah, I know it's part of the Rebirth arc. I don't think they're going to touch anything with about Rebirth, but I don't need it to. It's fun watching these three girls work together.
And that's how I feel about Batgirl. Like, if it doesn't ever tie into Rebirth, I'll be happy. I'm almost at the point, though, with Constantine that I feel like it needs to. Mm. Because when you have the fucking genies and you have... I mean, they've established that they're trying to kill off the Avatar of the Green and they're trying... They've maybe done something terrible to the Avatar of the Rot. If you're familiar with the Swamp Thing lore, that's big. That's huge. That's world-impacting, right? This is big, big stuff. So I feel like it needs to, or it needs to just pick up the fucking pace. Because I'm just, reading it. And, you know, let's see. The other comic that came out last week that I'll talk about really quickly was just The Black Monday Murders. It came out. I'm still loving that series. I'm still my demon bankers. I say it and Carrie gets a smile on her face and I'm like, I know what you're waiting. It's still really good. They're starting to reveal some of the history. There was there's an interesting set of people. They're little characters. The cast of characters is very interesting. And they're starting to give some background to explain, like, I think I said the series starts with there's a set of twins, a brother and a sister, and the brother's murdered. And the sister is then called in because it's set up very much like a satanic church. Like, everybody has their roles, right? And everybody, there's various seats, kind of like a board. Mm-hmm. And all the seats must be filled by this bloodline. And so he died, he doesn't have any kids, so they're like, okay, well, we need his sister to take his seat, and she's called in, and it's been very clear that she was exiled, and she's not happy about being there. And she's really cold and weird about her brother being dead. Like, she doesn't really give a shit. Like, and she even kind of threatens, she's like, you know, I know that somebody in here killed him, and so that's not okay, but, like, she makes it sound like, well, I'm gonna kill, like, I want to kill somebody for killing him, just on the principle of the thing. Right? Like, you would go after somebody who hit your car because, well, you know, the insurance company is going to want me to go through these, like, you know, like, it's just what you do. You just go after it. But she doesn't really seem to give a shit. And they're kind of starting to give some of their backstory and their history and kind of explaining it. And, of course, it's nothing good. it's a really dark series and it's really, really fun. But it released on Wednesday And so I was, you know, getting my turkey and everything ready, like, for Thursday, because I dry brined my turkey. So I'm sitting there rubbing salt all over a turkey with, like, reading and having my daughter flip the pages for me every now and then. Like, come to my page! So I was reading about my demon bankers while I was getting my Thanksgiving meal on, and it was fantastic.
I demon bankers, Thanksgiving, they kind of go together for me.
Right? I mean, come on, why not? They were a good series. It was a good week for comics, other than Hellblazer. It needs to do something, man. It needs to shit or get off the pot. I'm telling you.
Oh, that's kind of how I feel about a lot of the DC stuff. And I don't even read Action Comics or Superman, thank God. Batman. Although I think when I was talking to Larry and got Batman, I was like, who's this guy? I remember his name, and it's because of a weird crossover with Nightwing, right. And I don't remember who all the crossover was. I just didn't read those issues. I was like, yeah, fuck it, I don't care. And he was like, oh, that's gonna be the new Robin. Like, but
but do I want to know this?
But where's Damian going? He goes, oh, well, Damian's got the Teen Titans. I'm like, but so did Red Robin, but he didn't just leave. I mean, so did Dick Grayson, but he was still Robin with Batman. Like, I don't understand. He's like, well, he needs his own Robin. Like, why? Hasn't he killed enough of them? I mean, come on.
No. It's like Kleenex, Carrie. You never used enough of them.
It's not like they die anyway. I mean, Jason Todd's still alive, for fuck's sake.
They just get reborn and given their own spinoff series.
It's true.
It's, you know, we could all be so lucky.
I mean, you know,
I like to think... Maybe it's a metaphor for life, like maybe like kind of like reincarnation, like we all just die and then we're just like reborn into our own spinoff series.
I'm just curious when they find out that Red Robin is not dead. What's gonna happen then? I'm gonna have to lean on Larry for that because I'm not reading Batman's. I mean, I love
don't do it.
I love Tim Drake, but I mean, it's gonna happen eventually, or maybe it won't. Maybe it'll be like the next time they reboot it. It's like, oh yeah, I remember like 10 years ago, and Tim Drake was like kidnapped and chained to a wall. So anyway, he's still there.
He's still there because we just stopped caring. We were just like, you know what, we're done. Oh. And I might be okay with that. But, well, I think that's probably all we have for this week. As if you didn't, for some reason, if you skipped ahead of podcast and you didn't listen to last podcast that we did, we are podcasting every 2 weeks now, which is just fantastic. It should keep it maybe a little bit more focused for us and a little easier, so we're not like talking at a breakneck speed, like, oh my god, and then Green Arrow was really good, and then this was good, and this was good.
I don't think I've ever said Green Arrow was good.
That's actually entirely valid. So Black Monday Murders was good, and then Harrow County was really good. And did I mention that Lady Killer is really good, too? Jesus, just buy all the fucking things.
That way we're just not talking about, you know, 12 comics each.
Right? Like, well, let's see. The 600 things that I'm reading currently.
Right? And that's just our highlights.
Right? This is just, like, grabbing, like, the really good shit that we're reading. So yes, hopefully we'll be able to kind of keep things going here in a better pace and, you know, continue to be awesome.
We're awesome.
We are fucking awesome. Jesus.
So, well, with that, we will be back in 2 weeks' time. You can find us on Twitter at YellAboutComics. I couldn't do yelling because Twitter.
Twitter.
Right. And our site is at yellingaboutcomics.com. We are on iTunes as well as Google Play. You can find links right there. You can also listen to it straight from the website. If you have any comic suggestions, we're happy to hear them. As long as it's not Green Arrow.
Indeed. Or anything really DC.
If you got a DC suggestion for me, I'll take it. I'll do the DC Marvel random suggestions.
Tisk, tisk.
Well, I say I'll do it. I mean, I might. I'll consider it. If it's going to be like Iron Man or something like that, probably not. But if there's like some like random one that we've missed, like, you know, because Mockingbird was fantastic. So there's something like, you know, random that we missed. Or if there's, you know, hipster comics that maybe I should read, stop being so snobby and I should read these, or that maybe Jen's hasn't seen, let us know.
Yes, please, all the things. Do let us know. And in the meantime, we will then see you, or you'll listen to us, I don't know,
something
next time.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.